The NPL Show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas and welcome to this very festive edition of the EvoStick NPL Show for the month of December, no less. And joining me round the table for this not-so-festive edition of the EvoStick NPL Show, we're joined by some not-so-festive human beings. James Hayes.
Hello, how are you?
I can't say where he's from anymore. Cause
from Racklesborough.
From Racklesborough, James Hayes. From BBC Radio Manchester and 26-0, we've got Ian Burke.
Merry Christmas, one and all.
From the Daily Mirror, we've got Aaron Flanagan. Yes, he's here, everyone. Aaron Flanagan.
Thanks, hi.
And
he's very modest, isn't
he? Welcome back, Swamper. Anyone?
Where's he from? He likes it, likes
Swamp is back, everyone. Swamp is back. It's panto season.
Well, panto season normally starts in January. A little bit too early.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's panto
season. Oh, yes, it does.
Anyway.
Normally, but yes, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. It's nice to be back amongst a plethora of... In fairness, Ben, I thought you might have had, you know, more quality of guests for this such a great show. At least Berkey's here.
We should start with... We should start with item one. That's apologies. We've had Alan Alcock.
Item one, is this a committee meeting now? We've had come out on a day which is classed as a bank holiday, and you've decided we're having a committee meeting, Ben.
Item one, apologies. Apologies from Roy Sewell. Apologies from Andrew Simpson, and apologies from Alan Alcock. Those would
reasons?
Have really added a bit of gravitas to this month's show, but unfortunately, we're just going to have to.
Did they leave reasons? Because we would need to know the reasons.
Family commitments. And a cough in Alan Alcott's case. He doesn't want to cough off Mike. This is pretty much the halfway point of the season now. And up at the top, who would have thought it? Rush Olympic out in front by a mere 5 points. Halfway to the infamous they're going to win the league by 10 points. Admittedly, he said that about Blythe Spartans. But Rush Hall, they're doing it, Burkett.
They've not set the league alight, necessarily. But they're going about the business. They're going about it really well. And they're doing what they've got to do. I'm going to throw a million clichés out there and let Aaron pick up from it.
No, I've got to say, when they obviously made the controversial decision to appoint the chairman as manager...
Well, the chairman made
to be fair, yeah, it was his own decision.
Whoever, we went, oh, God, what the hell are they doing? But, you know, it's working wonders. They wouldn't have been in my top, you know, kind of top five, six for the season. They've just got something that works. I mean, it's still really closely bunched, though. At the top of there, you know, I wouldn't get too excited if I were them, but they're at least right in playoff contention, at least anyway.
Exactly,
and it's more than I think they could have asked for.
And you're dead right there to say I don't, you know, like you don't think they're going to win it. I mean, you look below them, this Spennymoor who can catch them. You've got the games in hand, Blythe. You've got the games in hand. These teams, if they win their games in hand, they go above Rushall. You go down to Matlock even, who've had a sudden
come to those teams in a bit.
But there's Nantwich, there's Stourbridge down in 13th. Yeah, they can all overtake them.
What I would say just quickly about kind of all the teams at the top, and this is including Rushall, if you go into any of the form guides or anything, they're all struggling. None of them are picking up wins consistently. No. Everyone's dropping points, and this is why I say Rushall shouldn't get too excited, because they are still dropping points, but so is everyone else around
them. It's a very even division this season. You know, you see the teams that are up there, and yeah, there are a number of surprises, but I mean, we're talking about, you know, an owner of a football club who now becomes the manager, and he's also the chairman.
John Allen, yes.
Well, the precedent's been set. I mean, look at Droylsden and the success they've had in the past. Obviously, they're going through problems at this moment in time. So he's not the first person to do this. And the one thing you'll have to bear in mind, the amount of pressure he's put on himself by actually making this decision. Yes, he'll have a lot to prove this season. Now, Rushall, I don't think anybody at the beginning of the season would have said, right, they're going to be up there. Or, you know, certainly even at Christmas, you would have thought a mid-table team. But fair play to them, absolutely tremendous what they've done at the moment. You know, the other teams, and I always say this, you put the points on the board and others have to catch you. Now, we know there was an old adage, we said that a couple of seasons ago, where Skem were hugely in front of everybody else but played six and seven games ahead of other people. But Rushall, if they carry on the way they are, they're going to be a hard team to knock off that perch, you know, because they have done very, very well, and he will be in a situation where he's not going to let people sort of like knock him off that perch. He's going to be very proud of where he's got to, And I'm sure even if he's finishing the playoffs, he's going to be a very, very proud person running that football club.
And he's going to have a lot of help there too from Carl Hawley, player of the season last year. And he's been, well, I don't think he's been quite at the same heights he did last season, but they've also got Jazz Lucky, who's in a fine vein of form, and he's got the best name in the entire division.
Is there a champ? There has to be a champ.
Got to be.
Did you invent the Dinanga champ, by the way?
I don't think I invented it.
No, okay. That's...
Oh, maybe I did. Oh, it seems to have gone viral,
yes,
doesn't it?
I should be so lucky.
Jazzy.
I should be so lucky, 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 lucky. I should be
Jazz Lucky
and Rushall.
But you're there right, you go. Sorted. You're welcome, Rushall.
The one thing to bear in mind, yeah,
they must have done it already.
I'm sure they have. And a lot better than us around this table. But Carl Hawley, you're right. I mean, what he did at Stourbridge.
Cheers, Swampy.
What Carl did last season at Stourbridge, and we met him on a number of occasions, both interviewing him when we were 26-0 working with you, Berkey, last season, and also at the Northern Premier League Awards. He's brought experience, quality, and a calmness. And what he'll be doing together with the manager is he'll be bringing his experience, and he's very different to many, many players I've ever seen, because he's not a shouter, a screamer. He leads by example on the football pitch, and he'll be doing that off the pitch as well. And having the quality that he possesses is no surprise where they are. You know, and as you say, a lot of people are working within that inner sanctum now, that football club, and they're going to be a hard team to beat.
Rochelle didn't pick a top at the moment, but there is this thing about games in hand as well. And while we're talking about surprise packages, Whitby and Buxton have had a tremendous opening to the season. It has to be said. And
two of your favourite destinations for holidays, Ben, I believe.
Can those two stay in the playoff contention this season? Why, Bertie?
I just don't think they will whatsoever. Whitby, they've had a wobble, haven't they? They lost three games on the spin. Before, yesterday, though, I mean, they absolutely, tonked. They did the usual beating a team by one goal, didn't they? They beat Black
Spartans.
Not any
team, yes.
Well, they don't beat teams by more than one, do they? Don't lose by more than one, generally.
But that's a big... I mean, if Whitby Town are going to stay up there, that win against Black Spartans surely suggests that they're going to be something.
I think it proves their credentials. You know, if they can grind out a win against a team with a lot of attacking threat like Blyth have got, if they can grind out a 1-0 win against a team like that, it gives them belief as well. But it does, as I say, shows the credentials that, you know, they can stay in the playoff mix.
The one thing about Whitby Town is they've had trials and tribulations over two or three seasons. They've nearly... Mm-hmm. You know, got into the Northern League or even, you know, the North East Counties League. You know, but they're a big club. They can attract and have done over the years some very good players. They've got a marvellous football ground and a good pedigree. And this season, I think they're showing after 3 or 4 years of real difficulties, they've got to grips with everything. They're doing very, very well. It's a very hard place to travel to. As a football team, you know, you've got to go there. You've got to spend most of the day to get there. So it's a hard place to visit. The weather can play an integral part as well. And you know, I'm really pleased with them in the respect of the fact that they are where they are. They're not struggling this season. And they're playing some very, very good football, and attractive football as well. And you know,
they're definitely going to stay up, aren't they, this year?
No question about it. And you know, don't be surprised if they are within that playoff place come the end of the season.
Another thing that you've got to pick up on is that out of all the teams in the top half, there's only one team who scored fewer than them. I know they're in second place and all that, but you look at the goal difference, they're only on plus six. And the teams around them, plus 13, plus 17, plus 22, plus 20. You know, you've got to step it up a little bit for me.
It's not like I said, the whole division as well, they're not scoring. But again, that's what wins leagues sometimes, 1-0, 2-0 wins.
Buxton. Buxton are doing... I'm backing away from this because I've got vested interest because I love Buxton, obviously. But
they always start off very, very strongly.
Not this stage of the season. They've never got this far. They've normally dropped off by this point.
Exactly. But again, he's starting to come in again at this moment in time. I don't know if it's through injuries, just missed poor performances, as Joyce has been saying in the last couple of weeks as well.
If you look at the league table now, they are literally only two losses from being 7th, 8th and potentially 9th. They are... I mean, I know the third in the table, but it shows how close the league is. We mentioned
Whitby's credentials based on that result against Blyth. Buxton, similarly, have had some cracking results of late. They drew 0-0 with Blyth a couple of weeks ago, and they've beaten Rushall 3-0.
They have, but that was
a while back.
Not that far back, 5 games ago.
All right, but they haven't won in December.
True.
All right, and they haven't. The thing is, let's be positive about it, though. They still haven't been beaten at home. They've won eight. They've drawn three. They've got the best home record in the entire division, and they're flying there at Sylvans. I love Sylvans a bit, as we may have touched on in previous episodes. But their away form, it's mid-table.
I think one of the problems you've also got with Buxton is that Buxton are the flying start to the season. They're rightly where they are this moment in time. They have, obviously, as you said, not won a game in December, but they're a team that are poached tremendously.
Yes.
Players are poached massively from Buxton, because it's most of the players that play for them are either within the Derbyshire area or the Manchester area, and that can be a difficult thing for the manager to be able to have to deal with. The one thing Whitby aren't going to have this season, because where they are, is primarily have that many players poached. I mean, I look every single Saturday at the Northern Premier League, sort of like, you know, players in and players out and where they've gone to. And it's not that often you see many a player from Whitby going elsewhere. But the manager now is going to try and keep the squad, trying to keep the players. But it's still going to be hard, because if they're playing good football, managers from higher divisions or, you know, will want to come in for them and look at them. I mean, you know, and that's
the same throughout football, unless you're at the very, very, very top of the Premier League or Serie A or whatever the leagues across the world are called, that they're good.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is the geographical situation that they're in means that they can be poked from left and right
and
by the Derbyshire
and down.
Also by Manchester, and other clubs don't necessarily have that.
And it's something that Martin McIntosh picked up on when we interviewed him in early September. He said, we're here now, but let's be honest, we are going to get players poached off us.
Yeah, I'm not having this, though, because what happens in Manchester, there's 35 teams on my patch that I cover on Radio Manchester.
You do a good job.
Oh, thank you very much.
Is it that good?
See you on Friday.
Is it that good? Is it that good?
Say someone starts performing well for Radcliffe or Hyde or Trafford or whoever. Yeah. You've got Ashton, you've got Warrington above him. He'll come in and poach him.
It's not just that as well. When you're in the Manchester, I've seen plenty of players go off to the top of the Welsh League, over to the Merseyside teams.
Yeah. Halifax.
Players do travel over. Yeah, or they do go over the hills to...
Sorry.
Halifax.
Sorry about that, Karen.
No, but as I say, in the Manchester area, you've got just as many.
I appreciate what you're saying, but you're wrong.
So at Christmas,
I've missed you, Swampy.
At Christmas, we've got these three, let's say, unfashionable sides up at the top, right? Mm. Three unfashionable sides.
Yeah,
even I didn't back Buxton this year.
I thought all three would be
relegated.
Well, I thought Buxton would be mid-table. I thought Rushall and Whitby would be right near the bottom. Really did.
However, in fourth, fifth, sixth at the moment, we've got teams who a lot of people around this table were backing, and in Spennymoor and Blythe's case, they've got the games in hand to do it. However, they aren't half stumbling a bit, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised by Blythe. Like, this is the point where maybe start of December I was really thinking they're going to kick on, they're going to go on this run. I mean, I think if you look across the form, maybe across 10, 12 games or so, I think they probably are the highest performing team in the division. I think they probably over a period will have picked up.
Everyone's looking at my laptop. They are the most informed team.
You're on a form guide?
Yes.
I will have expected them to kick on more by now. They've not. They don't seem to be picking up that string of victories.
I think it's more the fact that everyone else has been performing round them. Or
this
similar.
This season as well with Blythe, they don't seem to be battering teams the way they used to.
No.
Obviously, the few seasons where they finished second and third, they were against the lower teams. They were beating them 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6. They're not doing that to anybody this season.
They did beat Bedlington and Terriers 11-1.
In what competition, though?
Well, it was a Northumberland Senior Cup, but don't knock it, Aaron.
It's a great competition, I'm sure. Finals at St. James's
Aaron,
Park.
The one thing you have to bear in mind is what you say there, and I understand where you're coming from, is, but that surely is a little bit of a marker to the rest of the division, the rest of the season. They're not really kicked on yet. They've not beaten teams by what we've been accustomed to doing over the last few years. So is that going to come? New manager?
Well, no.
You know, we've got a new manager there, and again, you know, the closest rivals are Spennymoor, local to them as well. They're gonna always come good. Always come good at the back end of the season. Year, you said yourself that you don't believe Rushall will be up there, or even believe Whitby would have, or Buxton would have been there or thereabouts. They're there now, so you would expect the likes of Blythe to kick on in the next month or two, and then maybe start showing a gap. But there are three or four great teams around them as well.
They have got games in hand. They've got four games in hand over Rushall Olympic, and they're only 8 points behind them. So,
as I said, they just, for me, don't feel like they've kicked on. They don't feel, they don't have the fear factor about them that they maybe did in previous years.
Are they just doing what Darlow did last year and just being a bit of a stalk? not a dark horse, but a stalking horse in a way, and just
milling around.
Yeah, there you go. Just milling around there, just doing what they need to do. Very functional results on the board, getting the 3 points, getting a point when they need to. Well, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've had the tougher fixture list over the last couple of weeks as well. And what have we got out of it? Something very, very. Was obviously, I think
That was the first. The Boxing Day defeat was the first defeat in 10 matches.
Yeah, but obviously, I think they got a good win against Mikulova, and again, Mikulova aren't necessarily a bad side at this moment.
He's turned into Jeff Stelling since I've gone. He's just going first defeat. This is amazing, Ben's got all these stats. He's got everything around him. He's just going, coming in. Beautiful to see.
No, but Blythe were getting a lot of draws. Oh, that's the thing, Ben. Well, they were throwing points away. Yeah. They really were. But never mind Blythe. What about Spennymoor?
Good segue. It's 4-4.
Before he had a bit of a hangover, didn't
he? Yes, FA Cup hangover.
After the FA Cup, they lost, I think it was 3 or 4 games on the spin. But December came around, they gave the Reds a bit of a wobble, and all of a sudden they're the farm team in the division. And they're going rocketing up the table. And I do think they're going to be in the top three by the end of the campaign. But then again, I think Blythe will get there. They'll get the bits and bobs knitted together like a nice big Christmas jumper, Ben, and Stourbridge eventually will get up there.
Yes.
Well, and maybe Nantwich as well. But
they've only played 22 games, haven't they?
Just
21-22.
Yeah, exactly.
Stourbridge. Out of the teams we mentioned, who is going to win the league? Because we've thrown doubts about all of them, haven't we?
That's the point.
Why are you looking at me?
Who is going to win it?
I'll stick my neck on the block, and it's not a team. I think the team that will win the division this season will be Hennesford.
So that is the end of part one. When we come back, we're going to be talking Hensford Town, we're going to be talking Matlock Town, we're even going down to 13th or 14th top Stourbridge and Warrington Town. That's how crackers this league is this season. That's the end
of part one.
Thank you. We're going to snowball our way now to part number two.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong
and it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester. The award-winning Heat and Hops for this very festive edition of the Evo Stick NPL show. Only festive because of the jingle bell sound effects we used at the start of the show. Round the table, we've got James Hayes, we've got Ian Burke, we've got Swamper, we've got Aaron Flanagan. We've already discussed the title and those teams in the playoffs at the moment. But what about the bulging chasing pack? I've never known so many teams to be capable of getting themselves into the playoffs and title positions from 13th and 14th position. Burke,
haven't you? You've not been paying much attention over the last few years, have you? Because that's how it's been for ages, Ben. It's only halfway through the season. There's always going to be some team that emerges from the mire of mid-table. There's always going to be a team that drops from the comfort of mid-table into relegation, oblivion, no mention of any teams I may or may not support. We mentioned, Swampy mentioned Hensford before the break, and I don't see it. But I just don't see it. They're too inconsistent.
Why don't you
Ben.
See it?
They're too inconsistent, Ben. I'll repeat myself.
But haven't we just discussed how Spennymoor and Blythe and Buxton, Whitby, they're not that, you know, in form, are they?
No, they're not, but they've strung results together throughout the season. Hensford, in fairness to them, they've gone result, defeat, result, defeat. I suppose they might open the war chest as the season progresses, but opening the war chest is no guarantee that the players that you bring in are going to knit together with your existing squad. So, I don't know. I don't see it myself. I really don't.
I'm going to skip the team in seventh at the moment because I'm going to come back to them in a minute. Workington are another side who many people would have predicted to be in the playoffs title picture at the start of the season. For a long time, they were...
That's what I'm amazed about.
They've done a spending more, haven't they?
How well they've done it the last couple of weeks. I still thought they were down low mid-table, but again...
Sneaking up. And a good result of Boxing Day against Nantwich in that local derby that was arranged.
This has been one of them quiet teams recently, aren't they? I mean, you look at the goal differences as well, you can see why they were down the lower end of the table, but they just quality doing their own thing. They're getting the results where it counts. It's just, can they again get it? Well,
hang on, Tiga. I'm not having this because they lost 4-0 to Colville at home. They lost 2-0 to Hensford, who, by the way, I think have got a chance to make it into the playoffs at the end of the season.
That's what
so,
I mean.
No, again, all right, they put a decent month together in November and that.
But as we've all been discussing, the teams at the top have been dropping points to a degree. The teams just below them have been dropping points. There's no real team that I'm just going week in, week out, week in, week out.
It's a nightmare to try and make sense of it.
Of course it is. And you would expect that this time of the season. But going back to Workington as a football club, they've been here for a long time now in the respect of they know how to pick up the pace. It's a hard, long... Again, it's another long journey. It's a hard place to go to. I listened to their manager talking last week on their video cast. And I think there's a lot to come out of Workington between now and the end of the season. I would not be surprised if Workington are right up there, and I really believe that, because they've got that kind of quality. They know how to win football matches, and they've got a young, vibrant manager who's, you know, showing his way going forward with a football club. So for me, they're not a dark horse. They're a team that you would always, at the beginning of the season, think they've got to be there or thereabouts. It has to be their season again. They need to for them. Again, they're one of them clubs that need to be back. No one has a given right to go back, but they're one of those that need to be back in a higher division for them as a football club.
We mentioned Workington Nantwich. Now, Nantwich, they're another team who they've got so many games in hand.
They still believe they can win this league.
Yeah.
Workington was a poor result, but they still believe they can win this league. And I'll be honest, you look at the quality they have on paper.
They're scoring goals.
They're a good, good team. And there's no reason why they can't push. I mean, I don't think they'll quite get there. But there's no reason why, you know, that they can't push and mount a challenge. I think they're doing really well.
And obviously a team doing very well is Stourbridge. Getting through to the third round of the FA Cup.
Yeah,
that's superb stuff. And we'll have Gary Hackett on for his regular interview in next week's show, I think.
Well, the one thing to bear in mind, Ben, about them is that not only are they doing brilliantly in the league with so many FA Cup games as they've had and doing tremendously well in the FA Cup, but they are, if you look at any team in 2016, they are the team of 2016 by a country mile, because they did the same thing in the FA Cup last year.
And the trophy.
Fourth year out of five.
And they have been, for me, without a shadow of a doubt, the team of 2016, just because of what they've done. Yeah. You know, they've done fantastically well.
And what I say, off the pitch, they feel like they're growing as well. The crowd is going up.
Yeah.
There seems to be real feel good. I mean, the FA Cup contributes a lot.
Of course,
to that.
It does. Yeah, hugely.
But there's a massive buzz feel good atmosphere.
There's a buzz
about them,
around the place, isn't there?
Yeah, and what I like about it was really friendly. I don't know what you guys experience you've had when you've been there. Been amazing with it.
Been there, and the vibe around the place, the ground itself is a tiny little ground. It's
ground.
It's got nice stands at the side of the ground, so you can stand up and watch the game. Mm-hmm. And they're proud of the football club, but they're also proud of the way they're playing football, because they're playing good football, and that's the one thing. And they've lost people like Carl Hawley. I mean,
but they've got the Admiral Benbow there, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. Yeah. But to lose someone the quality of Hawley from last season, and to still do what they're doing and doing it with quality and actually showing the league football teams how to play football.
They've got some great fixtures coming. Yeah. They've got to play Sutton, they've got to play Marine, who've been having a bit of a wobble. And Mick Clover having an half-decent season, I suppose, but I'd expect Stourbridge to be scared.
We'll come to them in a bit. We'll mention Warrington Town while we're here, because obviously Warrington Town, they've been higher up pretty much all season, just borderline of the playoffs, mainly. But there was always this thing, wasn't there, that they played so many games more than everyone else. They've now dropped to 14th in the blink of an eye, literally. It is literal as well. What do you reckon for Warrington Town?
I think they'll be more happy just to stay in the league this year more than anything. I know Toby McCormick wants
come on.
Let me finish.
We're not moving Toby there, man.
Toby listens to this show.
I know
even he's going, no.
Toby will be.
Might not be
the first to tell you, but I think it's quite clear that Warrington have a bit of investment. You know, they do pump a bit of money into the team. You know, they are able to acquire, you know, players from a higher level than they have done in the past. They'll be so disappointed with being down in 14th place. Mm-hmm. I know they've had a change in management. You know, a bit of a restructure, but they want to be up and around them playoffs. I think they'll be very, very disappointed right now with where they are in the league.
I think they will want to be in the playoffs this season. That's their criteria. They
can
want to be
get into the playoffs.
They want to move forward.
Can they get into the playoffs? Well, all the teams above them.
Where they are, it's going to be tough. There, I mean, there are more seasoned teams that have been there and know it. And once you've felt it and you've been there or thereabouts, Warrington this season, expectations were higher than where they are now, and I think they'll probably stay just on the periphery of the playoffs and won't quite make it this season. But they'll have to do something for next season, because
you have to remember with Warrington as well, though. This is the first time they've ever been at this level of football. So, off the pitch, the fans, I think inside, they'll be going, right, we can take this for you. It's not like there's going to be a big uproar that they've not got to the playoffs.
But the one hope they'll have also is the fact that they'll look to teams like Curzon, and in fairness, a team that had never been beyond where they were last season. So, lo and behold, in the first season, back bang, promoted through the playoffs, and now holding their own well in the Conference North. So there's no reason why any of these teams can't do it. Those teams with, not say ambition, but they do actually have ambition to have a football ground and make it a sport within the town, a huge sport within the town. So good luck to them.
I'm going to mention the Gang of Four now. It's a name I've come up with in the last couple of weeks.
Are they from Leeds?
It's not unique. No.
But
from the 70s and 80s from Leeds, Ben.
It is these four sides, though, who I... You know, you could talk about Whitby and Buxton and Rushall, what they've been doing, but I find these four teams the most intriguing in the whole division. Barwell, Grantham, Micklover and Colville. The results are always the first ones to look out for, because they could beat anybody in the league, and often do. They're cracking, aren't they, this season?
Yeah, I've said this a couple of weeks ago, again on Extra, these four teams will decide who will win the league. Once again, they've beaten most of the top four between them as well. They can be either absolutely fantastic. We've seen it in Barwell. Grantham finding a couple of strikers and scoring goals with fun.
Grantham at the minute are on a hell of a run.
Exactly. So again, it's just then.
Grantham were right in the kind of relegation battle at the start of the season, and they're flying really well.
Three strikers and that's it. They've been at the races since, in all fairness.
Can I just say, obviously, you've grouped all these up as the Gang of Four or something.
Yes.
They're all quite... Individual, like Micklover themselves, have had quite a big turnaround. They've signed, I think he's called, is it Connor Hall, striker? Yeah. I think he's on loan from Sheffield United. I might be wrong with that, but I think he's on loan from somewhere.
Nothing like a journalist just speculating, is
there? This Connor Hall, he scored 8 in his last 2 games.
What?
He scored a hat trick, then he got 5 against Ilkeston.
How did I miss that?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're not a journalist.
In the past month or so, when he's been there, I don't know about him. I've heard rave reviews about him saying, "God, he looks a real talent." And Micklover have stumbled upon, kind of the one talent that stumbled upon goals.
Off the
pitch,
though, the management staff that they've got in at Micklover, they know what they're doing. Whenever you interview them, they're very calm and collected, and they've got a plan, and you can see it coming to fruition in a way. Jimmy Ginnelly, obviously, at Barwell's played a blinder again this season. I mean, you were getting worried last month.
I think it was
you who was getting worried about Barwell. And look at him now, the 10th.
Shame they didn't.
Little old Barwell, as Jimmy Ginnelly would call him. But it's Grantham that I'm fascinated by.
We should probably go to Swampy for some comment about Grantham.
Can you talk about Grantham? Can you do Andrew Simpson? What Andrew Simpson did a couple of weeks ago, he did Grantham without mentioning the Athletics track once.
Did he mention the Tory party at all?
No, he didn't. Oh, okay, Thatcher.
How about Nicholas Parsons?
Sleaford
Mods are from that. Sleaford
Mods are from there. I mean,
lost for words then.
Grantham is they're an enigma.
Thanks for that.
They've been up and down over the last few seasons.
Down mainly.
Well, yeah, and this season, look, they're in a false position as far as I'm concerned, and I think they'll finish in the bottom half of the table. They're having a good run at this moment in time.
Very good run.
They are, yes, but once that ball gets kicked out, and I'm not mentioning why, but it takes 25 minutes to get back, and that's it. You're doomed. With this kid's falling in sort of like sand pits, trying to recoup balls, or when basically...
Dodging javelins
Grantham, they're having an upturn. Good luck to them, and the rest of the season.
And lastly, when it comes to part two, the chasing pack, there's one team we've missed. That's because we... Special congratulations to Matlock Town for making it through to the second round of the FA Trophy.
Yep. Yeah.
I think we're on the second round now. I lost interest in the qualifying rounds, to be fair. thanks, FC. So, Matlock Town, congratulations through to the second round. Only flag bearers in that competition now from the MPL. Matlock Town, though, look at where they are and look how many games in hand they've got. Listen to the management whenever you talk to them about how they're just, you know, quietly getting on with it. Yeah, they're massively flying under the radar, Matlock.
Yeah, but they're not at it, and we've been mentioning them on this show last couple of months.
Hence why they're under the radar, because no one listens to this show in fairness.
Oh, right, okay.
I've not been on for the last couple of months, so I don't know what's been said.
You weren't invited.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Hang on, you've not been on the last couple of months, so you don't know what's been said. Are you saying, Aaron Flanagan, that you do not listen to this podcast? And you're not on it?
How do you keep your finger on the pulse?
Aaron Flanagan, even in Shanghai for the last 6 months, I've been keeping abreast of this show, and I've got to say, it's been far better without me.
But I've got to keep anyway, that all in now, that joke. It's worth going to the well for. Go on.
What I would say about Matlock is, while you're saying they're going under the radar, the results against the likes of Halifax actually puts them right on the radar to realise, you know, what they're capable of. To hold their own in one fixture against Halifax, but then beat them away as well.
Off air about your dad, the way he does interviews.
Off air, do you? It's like
and
that, is it?
How Craig Hopkins talks on... when we speak to him, and you can talk to him and say, that's a tremendous result against Halifax, and he'll say, do you think so? We're doing all right.
He's a name dropper now, isn't he, Ben? Any of you know these managers, just throws the names in like he knows them all personally.
Anyway, so Matlock Town,
I think to be honest, Matlock, if Matlock continue there running the FA Trophy, and there's no reason why they shouldn't, it breeds confidence more and more. They played 22 games, they're 40 points. They are a contender. I mean, Ben, two of your holiday destinations in the top half of the division.
Boxing Day, you don't know what to do. Boxing Day was sensational. And we said about it last week on the fixture preview. Buxton against Matlock, that was the biggest Peak District derby there's been in years.
Yeah, over 1,000 there the other day. Brilliant turnout. McKenna's going to be gutted, so everyone's delighted about that. And the thing is, I've got Marcus Dinanga for. I know we mentioned him on the show last month, but I got a bit giddy about it.
Well, now he's got a chance. It's only a matter of time before the scouts pick him up.
Well, he's at Burton anyway. He's on loan, isn't he, for him? I don't know how long he's on loan for. I don't know if it's half season, whether it's full season, but he's been doing himself no harm whatsoever. Absolutely fantastic for him. He's really started motoring as the season's gone on. It's taken him a little while to adjust, maybe, but now he's found his feet. He's flying at the moment.
Just to finish on this note, you said earlier that this is how it always is, but I don't think it is actually been this wide open ever.
What's like a Manson song,
since we've been doing this show.
There's usually been a team or two battling away at the top, hasn't it? But underneath that, it is all hustling and jostling for the rest of the positions.
Berkey, but what we need to do is, Ben needs to do a bit of homework here. What Ben needs to do is go back through the archives.
What's all this about?
What Ben needs to do is go back through the archives of the last three or four seasons of doing this show and see the teams where we were talking about where they were at Christmas and where they finished.
Since August has this league been this wide open.
Hyde were in contention this time last year. So, come on. Yeah.
Contention are going down, and they did exactly what we said.
Yeah. I mean, the only team that's not
who tipped them to your arm at the start of the season, by the way.
Jokingly to wind me up.
And that is the end.
A correct prediction.
And that is the end of part two. Coming up in part three, we're going to be discussing relegation. Happy Christmas, everyone.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the Heating Hops here in South Manchester, the award-winning Heating Hops for this Christmas edition of the EvoStick.
City Life award-winning now, and also
and
the...
City Life isn't even a magazine anymore.
Manchester Food and Manchester Drink awards.
Oh, tremendous.
There's still 30 minutes left. So, potentially, we could get part three done and the Division 1 show, but I have to be honest, Division 1 fans, it is looking increasingly unlikely that's going to happen.
Why, do you have a booster yet?
Round the table, we've got James Hayes, hello, we've got Ian Burke, hiya, we've got Swamper, and we've got Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror, of course.
Whoa, second, why did you get From The Mirror, of course, when you guys, the unsung heroes of this show...
Well, we're
deservedly so.
I'm not got anything anymore, anyway.
It's now time, before we draw a line under this mum's festive edition, to discuss the lower end of the table. And last week, Jimmy Ginelli said something interesting about this next team we're going to mention.
Are you not going to do a song?
What's Jimmy Ginelli?
Stafford Rangers. He said he wouldn't be surprised if they got in the playoffs this season.
Yeah. I can see what he means. Well, T got said in the break they're going to need a bit of a peg up and he's absolutely right. I mean, they're in 18th place.
Played 21 games.
They have played 21. They've got a plus goal difference way down in the bottom half of the table. So they are in with a shout there. It's just one of them things with Stafford so far this season. Remember at the start, they were drawing, and all right, they're not so much drawing so many games now. They're winning one, losing one. So it's a kind of improvement, I suppose. But once they can knit that all together, I do think they'll be top half, I do. Probably top 10.
They will be top half. I mean, I spoke to Liz Biggerstaff, who...
Bickers,
yeah. Avid Stafford Rangers fan, ex-Radio 5 non-league show producer. And I mean, she loves the club inside out. And I think she said this season...
just pick up that name for him there, Ben. Be a dear. Thanks, mate.
You know what? We were at Altrincham last Tuesday, right? And the guy on the mic gets up and he goes, "Oh, we've run through the people who are in here tonight, and we've got our sponsors, of course, from Galloway's Roofing. Thank you very much for your continued support.
Manchester Glass, as always.
Manchester
Glass. Thanks, Sarah and John.
Oh, and we're also joined tonight by Ian Burke, aka Burkey from BBC Radio Manchester. Their non-league guru. Is that right, Burkey? Like, oh, you know, bloke will do, and this, that, and the other. And Swampy. And it just moved down to someone else. And I sit down, and Swampy goes, "Oh, this is terrible. They didn't introduce me properly. They didn't say, 'Oh, he's from BBC 5 Live non league show.' They didn't say, 'I'm from FC United Radio' or anything. It's awful. Oh!"
Anyway. And you know what?
Liz Bickerstaff.
I was dropping names as of that.
Liz Bickerstaff.
If you like your darts, she's been very big in the darts,
yeah,
darts
she
world.
Looks at us.
If you want to find out what she does, fantastic. No, I mean, she was saying basically that
follow her on Twitter.
Last season she was very pleased they got promoted in the way they did.
And being a fan, I suppose she would be.
Come on, Stafford are doing well and the fans are happy.
Yeah, and I think this season for them, I don't think they were looking to go straight up, because I think they realised they've had two or three turbulent years. They are where they are. They are in a position where you say they could put a good considerable run in, 21 points, 21 games only, but it might be a little bit too hard for them this season, I think. But equally, you know, who knows? I mean, we are in December. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to really predict until maybe you get to February.
We gave it a go in August, though, didn't we? So
well, we do every year, don't games, we?
Yeah, we now, just primarily. to say, is the season over for these next teams already? Ashton United, Marine, Hales Owen.
Yeah, when you say season over.
Interesting one about Ashton, because for me, they've been on a bit of... I thought they had a great result against Warrington.
Yeah, great.
Boxing Day, real good win. They've been on such a decline, and I like, as a duo, the nice guys, they're going about it the right way. They've obviously had to cut the wage budget, mm-hmm. or to get rid of like Lee Gaskell and stuff. They've had to kind of start afresh, basically.
But in fairness, though, Aaron, they've had an absolutely stinking injury list.
Yeah, all they've done, they have just dropped, though. Like, 3 months ago, the last time I was on this show, they were right in playoff contention. They were one of the contenders. You're right there. Now you're thinking, oh, they've dropped right the way down. And are they going to be able to pick it up? You know,
I've struggled this season for one reason only. They've lost not three quarters of the team, but a good proportion of the team. Yeah. They lost the management as well, and it's proving really where they've gone to. Those players and that management, in my opinion, are at this moment in time cutting the mustard up there. It's very, very difficult, the division above. But because you've taken away very good pedigree Northern Premier players, mm-hmm. I would have expected if Ashton had the same management duo as they did last season, the same players, they would be now in the top three. They'll survive this season. There'd be no question about it, as far as I'm concerned.
That was my point about...
They will survive. I don't even believe it'll be survival. I think they'll just be...
That's what I mean. It's just ticking over now.
Mid-table team.
We mentioned Ashton United. I also threw in Marine and Hales Owen Town into that. Marine and Hales Owen admittedly are down there, but they do have loads of games in hand. And Marine and Hales Owen, they pulled out some good results this season. Marine were very unlucky in Stockport County. They're a good
side. They were indeed. I mean, they've proven that they can take on the bigger teams, but them two... I've said the last couple of weeks, I think the bottom five are going to be the bottom five. Ooh. But if it's going to be anyone who's going to get dragged into that, I think Hales Owen more than Marine.
It's a funny one, Marine, because every year you look at me and go, on paper, like the team and squad is always so much better than the league position. Yeah. They always seem to be lingering around this position when you know, you, on paper you think they're a top half playoff pushing team, and it's a shame it hasn't quite worked out for them. Yeah.
That's Marine, and we mentioned Hillsdale in there.
They're
now,
sure, Ben. That's what we'll say. They're
they'll be fine. And I think they'll be absolutely fine.
They should be struggling.
Shouldn't.
James says, and I'm tending to agree with James on this, that the bottom five is the bottom five.
Yeah.
At the minute.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... And shall we start with the bottom up? We'll start from the bottom.
Carby, they're gone. Move on.
Okay. Scam. They've cut the budget, haven't they?
They have. Well, they announced, didn't they?
Yeah, big announcement.
Christmas Eve or 23rd. Said, right, that's it, lads. We're going to just say, well, we'll start again next season, see if we can get promoted again. Because you don't cut your budget if you want to get out of the division in a... Well, if you want to stay in the division, I should say.
They signed 8 new players as well before the Boxing Day game. Yeah. You know, like, it was a massive change. The likes of, obviously, they had Max Hazeldine as well. You know, cracking striker on loan from Accrington. They've just had to say, right, we physically cannot afford to pay your loan fee anymore. And it's devastating for them. It's tough. I mean, Tommy Lawson, the manager's never really been in a relegation battle before. And I don't know whether he's... Maybe with Prescott years ago in there. But I don't know.
Well, what about when Skem slumped about 3 seasons ago?
It wasn't.
And it was touch and go, weren't it?
I don't think it was ever a proper relegation. But he's never been out here now where they desperately need points.
Yeah, and I think that's why with Skem there, they brought Tommy Sullivan in. Because obviously he's assistant there now. I think getting ready for next season, so...
To be fair with Tony Sullivan, he worked wonders on no money with Camel Webb.
Exactly.
Like, he took them to second in Division 1 North without paying a penny to a player. Like, how you even do that is beyond me.
Just a quick word on Corby. Now, Corby, it's not unusual what's happened to Corby this season.
That's what Tom Jones said.
I know. They've come out of the National League North. There's teams like Hyde United.
What about Hyde United?
Jarlston. Colwyn Bay. Yeah. Stafford Rangers. They've all done this trip down two divisions in two seasons.
Yes.
What is it about the National League North relegation that impacts a club so heavily that they struggle the next season in the NPL Premier?
It's just that the clubs were in such an absolute shambles of a state when they've gone down.
Can't be worth it, no. Yeah. One thing that John Dunham said, who's a local journalist in Northamptonshire, he said, I've been absolutely amazed at the pace and the ferocity of the games. And I think it might just be that there is an element of surprise when they get in the league at how competitive it is.
I think what you've got, Ben, is that...
Because some of these teams who come down don't change the squad too much.
I think one of the problems, and we look at this, I mean, one of the major problems is we see the money filtering down to a certain degree and then the money stops and there are billions and billions above there. So chairmen and managers and certain players... They demand more money, they demand bigger budgets, they look for success more and more quickly. And when it doesn't come and there's a decline...
No, but it doesn't happen in the Ryman, it doesn't happen in the Southern League, but in the NPL, there's this phenomenon for the last few seasons where a team goes straight through. And I was just asking, why?
Can I say, this point about how Corby have maybe found the games a bit faster... It's on the other side with Curzon, obviously, we've gone up the two levels rather than come down.
Show off.
And as we've gone...
well done, good management. Very little budget, and I've actually proved that you can do it.
Yeah. What we've seen, as we've gone from the Northern Premier League to the Conference North, we have found the game actually is slower. And I don't know whether you've seen it with FC. Mm-hmm. It is slower. I mean, the lads are bigger, they're more physical.
Conference North slot slower game, much slower game.
It is a much slower game, and... There is definitely a case.
When we saw Salford v Workington last season,
it's a better game.
It was amazing. It was like watching Premiership football in comparison. It was like, what? It's like Pro Evolution Soccer.
The Northern Premier
it's crazy.
Oh, Northern Premier is more enjoyable than the National Conference. Northern League.
I think I said it to you, Berkey, a while back. The Northern Premier League for me, the Premier Division. It is the best standard of football, from everything included, because of the pace of the game, the quality of the football, the grounds. It's not too big time, it's not too small time. For me, it's just the perfect level of football.
Overall, but, the entertainment factor.
The whole package included, it's perfect. It is the perfect level of football. But that's why when teams coming down, it can catch them unawares, because you can coast in the Conference North. Teams can coast and survive. you cannot coast in the conference.
Speaking of which,
a very good point you make. So I mean,
no disrespect to these clubs I'm about to mention, but it'd be interesting to see what happens to Altrincham and Stalybridge next season if those are two of the sides.
Chances are they will get relegated.
Yeah. Altrincham, one of these teams who they have rumblings of, you know, it's so uncertain off the field. I think at the moment as well, there's a lot of people unhappy there. You know, they really could be the next one, and I hope not because they're a great club.
Altrincham on a sound footing financially, they'll be fine.
Financially, they'll be fine next season, but they'll find it tough because the Northern Premier League is. You know, A, for me, it's the most exciting. B, it's the most entertaining. And C, it's one of the hardest divisions around. I've been down watching the equivalent in the south of England. And I'm thinking, it surely can't be. I mean, without being detrimental.
It's slower.
It's a different game. They're playing different rules, it seems, sometimes. Because it's not, the quality is in the north more. And it's not, it's understandable. Because the north's produced primarily the greatest
I know what it's down to. I know what it's down to because I've seen some of the games and they pass the ball about, but it's very slow. But the reason why they pass the ball about is because the pitches are better, because it doesn't rain that much as often. Whereas up here, it's like, you know, by hook or by crook, that ball's going into that penalty box. Three teams I just need to mention before we go, and I'm sure one of these teams is going to be quite a long discussion, to be fair. Fricke Athletic and Sutton Coldfield, it feels like to me, are now in a bit of a tussle. Richard Sneakers has managed to stabilise the ship at Sutton Coldfield.
Of course,
and now are doing well.
Can I say, Frickley? It's nice to see them competing because it looked like they were going to be dead and buried a few weeks into the season.
They're going to have a real August, September. Yeah.
They were gone. It's nice to see them that they're in there and they've battled because cracking ground there. I enjoy it.
I love it.
Frickley needs to be involved in Northern Premier football for the entirety of Northern Premier football because it's just one of those great places, and they punch above the weight. I mean, last season they had probably their best season.
You know, they're struggling, but they've got this great striker, Gavin Allett, and then as soon as he left, they went, all right, we'll do better.
But they've struggled this season.
They proved everything we said.
They've been stripped to the best players again.
They have.
John Cyrus at Old Sea, he's been lucky.
It would not be an Evo-stick relegation battle without Frickley surviving by 2 points.
Well, I watched that.
It's just what it is.
I've been reprieved.
Exactly.
So, Frickley and Sutton Coldfield are having a bit of a ding-dong at the moment, with the potential to drag in teams above them. Like Marine, like we said earlier, like Halesowen perhaps. Now, Ilkeston, if we talk about enigmas up at the top, Ilkeston, I can't make head and tail of Ilkeston.
Well, if you live in the area, it's Ilkeston. Yeah. Forget that.
You wouldn't let us forget it.
A football club, really, that are in such a decline, it's untrue. I remember doing an interview last season on the now defunct Radio 5 Live non-league show. In all fairness, I mean, we spoke to the chairman last season and they got rid of 8 players. They did this, they did that, they did this. They said, oh yeah, we're okay, we're safe now. We're not bothered about getting up, going down.
They've done the same this last month, haven't they? They've started to get rid of some senior players.
I don't know what they want to do with it. I mean,
they've got a clock tower.
And it's brilliant. and the ground's great. And the actual traditional...
What I want to know about Ilkeston is that obviously... They got to the playoff final where obviously Curzon beat them. We went up.
Oh, yeah, did. Yeah, I don't remember that.
I think.
They're a better football team.
If Ilkeston won it, and went up, what would have happened to Ilkeston if they got to the Conference North?
Yeah.
What was their plan? I don't get the plan for the club. I don't understand this statement. What is their plan? When they were doing what they were really bringing
in. They
were a cracking team, weren't they?
They were full time. But it was full time academy players.
I think the local journalist there, is it
Mark Duffy?
Mark Duffy. I think he's brilliant. But I saw on Twitter yesterday, he said on attending my first Ilkeston away match for a while because for whatever reason, you know, working, covering all the sport in the area. And I didn't see what he put a foot because they got spanked 7-0 at Mickleover.
Oh, dear me.
You've got to be beating 7-0. I mean, they've got two
points in the last 10 games.
It's not great.
They've had the massive financial thing at the beginning of the season. That doesn't help anybody.
Can't they bring back the 3-3-3-1? That they used to play. That was a load of fun, that.
I mean, they have been one of the most entertaining teams I have seen for a long, long time. Your final against them at Curzon, they were tremendous.
I'll be honest, it's not often that a team outplay Curzon. Football, what annoys me about Oakson, that season where we both got to the playoff final, we went to them away about 3 weeks into the season. The size of the crowd, the optimism, the buzz about the place... It was infectious in a way. It was
intoxicating.
There should be there should be a step higher.
It was
at least
a proper cracking look. And at Curzon, because we just come up, it was one. We went there and went, this is cracking.
So the relegation pitch at the minute, it's looking like a 5-horse race, really. 5 teams for relegation.
You're looking 3,
but
potentially 6.
3-2 at the moment.
3-2 at the moment, because the other two we're not too sure about. But good luck, everyone, and hopefully there will be an AGM Cup where there's 4 places available for safety, and there's no reason for anyone to have any worries at all this Christmas time. And speaking of which, that is the end of the EvoStick NPL show Christmas special for another year. We'll be back next year, hopefully. Hopefully Trump won't have pressed any buttons and we'll still be here next year for 2017's edition.
We're in a perfect place. We're in a bunker.
With beer. And the game. And Risk.
We're in a bunker.
Perfect. We can reenact everything.
Sorry, Ben. We're in a bunker with beer, Berkey and Flammers.
And us too. What about us too?
That doesn't matter, does it?
What about us too?
Oh, Dad, you never let me finish.
You have finished.
This isn't the film Alive, right?
And the great
look
thing
at
is
the size of us two. We're going to be here a lot longer than he is. Yes.
Long live, funny how it seems. Always in time, but never in line for dreams.
So
we've got Egot, and it looks like Tony Hadley.
A big thank you to James Hayes, formerly of the NPL Facebook group, now just a loner.
What happened there?
Ian Burke from Firefly, Radio Manchester, and from 26 Nil. Thank you.
I've been on Five Live.
Thank you to Aaron Flanagan from The Mirror.
Can I say, I'm also an admin of the NPL Facebook group, and because I don't know the URL, James, one last time, can you just give us the honours and give us a plug, please?
facebook.com/groups/the NPL or on Twitter at the NPL group.
James, it's 2017, go back, they need you. It's not been the same since you've left. Since you've been gone.
And Swamper, it's been a pleasure having you back. Thank you.
I'm also from SC Radio as well. And formerly the Radio 5 Live non-league show. Looking for any opportunities to work
media
in
work.
Radio again.
I think your definition of pleasure is different to mine.
From everyone here at the Eating Hops, you have a lovely Christmas and a happy new year. Bye bye.
Love you all.
EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.